So if you look at the headlines lately, I mean, you would really think artificial intelligence is about to just systematically replace every single worker in the physical, traditional business world.
Oh, yeah, totally. The narrative is just so heavy right now.
Right. It's heavy, it's persistent, and it points entirely toward human subtraction,
Right.
basically. But according to the data we are diving into today, AI isn't eliminating jobs in these sectors at all. It's actually triggered a 147% explosion in hiring.
Yeah, and that number just, I mean, it forces a complete reevaluation of literally everything we assume about automation.
Exactly. So welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a really fascinating analysis from Structured Layer, which is a company focused on data readiness for construction and property. And we're looking at that alongside some wild numbers from the Autodesk 2026 AI Jobs Report.
It's some of the most surprising data I've seen in a while, honestly.
Same. And our mission today is to figure out how these physical industries are actually growing their workforce with AI and, what that means for you as a business leader navigating this. Because while everyone else is sort of panicking, the smartest companies are staffing up.
Right. And I think the timeline is the very first thing that really stands out here. We aren't talking about some slow creeping adoption curve,
Yeah, not at all.
147% increase in AI-related job postings in just 2 years across these design and make industries like construction and architecture. It's staggering. And there was a 33% jump just in the past year alone.
Just last year. I mean, that velocity changes the conversation entirely,
It
right?
really does.
It means that AI adoption in these physical spaces, whether that's pouring concrete or routing HVAC systems or managing commercial real estate, it isn't a futuristic projection for like your strategy meeting next year. If the hiring volume spiked 33% in 12 months, your competitors are actively recruiting right now.
They are laying the groundwork right this second. But, and this is key, they aren't necessarily doing what you might assume they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
Because when a construction firm posts an AI-related job, you really have to ask, what does that person's Tuesday morning actually look like?
They aren't in a trailer writing Python code, right?
Exactly. They certainly aren't sitting on a job site building a brand new large language model from scratch.
It almost feels like a gold rush to me.
Yeah.
But, instead of everyone rushing to forge a brand new kind of pickaxe, which is kind of what you see in the tech sector with everyone building foundation models.
Right, the big tech arms race.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of that, these traditional companies are just rushing to figure out how to swing the pickaxes that already exist. They just want to get into the mine and start extracting the value.
That is the perfect way to look at it. And swinging that pickaxe, it requires a completely different type of worker.
Right.
The underlying technology, like those massive foundational models that require gigantic server farms and billions of parameters just to turn on, those are being built by the massive tech conglomerates.
The Googles and Microsofts of the world.
Exactly. The barrier to entry is astronomically high there. A mid-sized property developer has zero business trying to build an AI engine.
Which brings us to the core shift that Structured Layer identifies in their analysis. They break down this massive pivot in the actual definition of what an AI skill is right now.
Yeah, the from to shift.
Right. The demand is moving definitively away from, quote, building AI. So roles focused on AI engineering or model development, deep technical implementation, that is not what these physical industries are hunting for.
The market is signaling so clearly that the value for these businesses isn't in creating the tool. The value is in tethering that tool to reality.
Yeah, applying it.
Exactly. The demand has shifted entirely toward applying AI inside real, messy daily work.
And the specific skills they list for this new phase, I'm just looking at it here, are workflow design, operations and governance, training and enablement, change and communication, and human oversight.
It's a huge shift.
It is. But let me push back on that for a second. If I'm a business leader and someone tells me my company has an AI skills gap, my very first instinct is to go hunt down a computer science grad.
Naturally, yeah.
Right. If I'm looking for hard tech skills to modernize my firm, how do change in communication or human oversight solve my problem? I mean, they sound like HR buzzwords, not tech capabilities.
I get that completely. It is super counterintuitive if you are still viewing AI as strictly an IT problem. But, think about the context of an actual physical build.
Okay.
An AI model can ingest a massive amount of historical data and rapidly generate, say, a highly optimized supply chain route or a super efficient project schedule. It has the raw processing power.
Right, it can crunch the numbers.
But that model has absolutely zero real-world context. It doesn't know that the road leading to the site literally washed out yesterday.
Oh, wow, right.
Or that the primary foreman just called out sick. Or that the client sent a late-night email changing their mind about the lobby flooring.
So the output it gives you is technically brilliant, but it's practically useless without a human filter.
Exactly. Think of it like a car race. You don't need a mechanic to win a car race. You need a driver.
Ah, I like that.
The AI model is the engine, but you need a human driver who understands the nuances of the track, the weather conditions, how to actually steer the machine.
Right.
That driver needs to look at the AI's generated schedule, spot the logistical impossibilities that the machine just completely missed because it lacks real-world context, and then communicate that revised plan to the team on the ground.
Which is where those soft skills come in.
Yes. That is exactly why human oversight and change communication are actually the most critical AI skills on the market right now.
You know, when you frame it that way, it directly answers one of the most surprising claims in the source data. There's a quote here that says, AI-ready companies are investing in people, not just tools, and they expect workforce growth.
It's counter-narrative, but it's true.
It really is. Because if you are just plugging a server in to do the work of 10 people, you shrink your workforce.
Yeah.
But if you have to hire drivers for all these new engines,
you start to augment your existing teams rather than replacing them. Implementing AI in like a property firm doesn't mean firing your 10-person project management team and letting an algorithm run the whole building.
Right.
You hire workflow designers and governance experts to make those 10 people exponentially more effective.
It's like, imagine adding heavy machinery to a construction site for the very first time. For decades, you've had crews moving dirt with shovels and pulleys, and then suddenly, the first bulldozer arrives on site.
Everything changes.
You don't lay off your entire crew just because one machine can move 100 times more dirt, right?
No, of course not. The site dynamics completely change when that machine rolls up. The scale of what you can even attempt to build expands overnight.
Exactly. You actually have to hire more specialized roles. You need heavy equipment operators. The site just became significantly more dangerous.
Yay.
So you have to bring in dedicated safety inspectors.
Yeah, the logistics completely shift.
Right. The pace of material moving is so fast now that you need better site managers just to coordinate it all. The machinery didn't shrink the workforce. It just elevated the type of work they were doing.
And it allows the firm to take on massive new contracts they previously couldn't even bid on.
Right.
And this ties right back into the data. The companies that come out on top, the quote-unquote winning teams, they won't be the ones that just blindly purchase the most expensive AI software subscriptions.
Because the software is just the bulldozer.
Exactly. The winners are going to be the teams that fundamentally redesign the job site to accommodate that bulldozer. They are going to redesign workflows, define new approvals, connect disparate data systems, and actually manage the human transition.
Okay, so we really have to get into the mechanics of how a business leader actually does that.
Let's do it.
Because it's easy to say, you know, redesign your workflows in theory. But on a random Tuesday morning, when the client is yelling, materials are delayed, and the budget is super tight, where does a site manager even begin?
Right. The theoretical has to become tangible, or it's just noise. And this is really where structured layers focus on data readiness becomes the actual playbook for leaders.
Yeah, they lay out a very specific 5-step framework in the source to transition from just buying a tool to actually applying it.
And it starts simple. Step one is identify the right workflows.
Which sounds obvious, but I imagine it's where most companies immediately go off the rails, right? They really try to automate something way too complex right out of the gate.
Oh, absolutely. Identifying the right workflow means finding something that is highly repetitive, heavily reliant on data, but is currently prone to a human bottleneck. You don't start by asking an AI to redesign the architectural aesthetic of a skyscraper. You start with something mundane, like how do we process subcontractor invoices, or how do we categorize daily safety incident reports? You isolate one specific bounded process.
And then once you isolate it, step two is connect records, documents, and systems, which is followed immediately by step three, define approvals, ownership, and controls.
Those two middle steps, 2 and 3, that is the absolute core of what we mean by data readiness. And I'll be honest, it is unglamorous, tedious work.
I can imagine.
It means digging through nested folders of old PDFs. It means forcing different departments to actually standardize their naming conventions for material.
Which nobody ever wants to do.
Never. And it means literally mapping out on a whiteboard who in the organization actually holds the authority to sign off on a $10,000 change order versus a $100,000 change order.
That sounds like a massive administrative headache. And frankly, we know how business leaders operate under pressure. The temptation is to look at this 5-step playbook, see all the friction in steps 2 and 3, and just decide to skip them.
Oh, happens all the time.
They want the shiny object, right?
Yeah.
They want to jump straight to step 5, which is deliver measurable business outcomes.
Yeah.
So what actually happens on the ground if a firm just buys the AI tool, plugs it into their existing messy network, and completely skips the data readiness and the control definitions?
They don't get business outcomes. They get operational chaos at hyperspeed.
Wow.
Honestly, this is the exact reason why operations and governance is listed as a top-tier AI skill right now. Without human controls explicitly defined in step 3, the AI is essentially a loose cannon.
Walk us through what that chaos actually looks like in a real physical industry setting.
Okay, let's say a commercial construction firm implements an AI tool to monitor supply chains and automatically reorder materials when inventory dips below a certain threshold. And this is on a massive high-rise project.
Okay, pretty standard use case.
But they skip step 3. They don't put a human approval gate in place, and they don't cleanly define who actually owns the procurement process.
So the AI is just kind of running in the background, watching the inventory levels on its own.
Right. So the AI notices a sudden, sharp spike in the usage of a specific, highly expensive grade of structural steel. It cross-references the project schedule, predicts a massive shortfall within 2 weeks, and operates exactly as it was programmed to do.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It automatically issues a purchase order for $500,000 of that steel to ensure the project doesn't face a delay.
I mean, on paper, the AI just saved the day.
Right.
It has spotted a delay and it fixed it.
Except the AI lacks the real-world context we talked about earlier.
Right.
What it didn't know, because the firm skipped the data readiness phase and they had siloed communication, was that the project manager and the lead architect had a meeting 3 days prior. And they decided to substitute a completely different composite material for the next phase of the build due to some last-minute design pivot.
Oh, man. And that wasn't in the system.
Exactly. That decision lived in an email thread and maybe a notebook somewhere. It hadn't been fully digitized into the inventory system yet.
So $500,000 of the completely wrong structural steel is now on a flatbed truck heading to a site that doesn't even need it.
Yep. And you now have a massive logistical nightmare, a blown budget, and literally nowhere to store the wrong materials.
That was brutal.
But that is exactly why human oversight is the defining AI skill right now. The human catching that erroneous purchase order, cross-referencing it with the architect's latest notes, and hitting cancel, that is the single most valuable part of that workflow. The tool gave you speed, sure, but the human governance prevented a total disaster.
It makes complete sense when you put it like that. The building AI phase is over for the vast majority of the economy. The applying AI phase is the actual battlefield, and you can only win that battle if you have people who deeply understand your internal business processes well enough to build those guardrails.
Exactly. You need workflow designers. You need people who can map out the entire life cycle of that structural steel, identify every single point where human judgment is required, and configure the AI to pause and ask for permission at those specific gates.
Which highlights step 4 in the playbook. Train and enable your team. It isn't just about training them on, like, which buttons to click in the new software interface.
No, not at all.
It's about training them on their new role as overseers and governors of the process itself. They are transitioning from being the people doing the manual data entry to being the editors and approvers of the AI's work.
In the psychology of that transition, that's where the change in communication skill comes in.
Right.
You are asking a workforce that might honestly be fearful of automation to step up and actually manage the automation. You have to clearly communicate to them that their contextual knowledge is the most secure asset they have.
Which brings us to the final and perhaps the most grounding piece of advice in this entire source material. After laying out all this data on 147% hiring spikes and these complex 5-step frameworks, the ultimate call to action for a business leader isn't some massive corporate mandate to transform the entire enterprise by next quarter.
Thankfully, no.
The advice is remarkably narrow.
It is. Start with one workflow. That is the absolute golden rule for navigating this shift.
Just one.
Just one. Do not try to boil the ocean. Do not try to make your entire supply chain, your HR department, and your safety division AI ready all at the same time. The sheer complexity will crush the initiative before it even begins.
So you pick one single process.
Yeah.
The invoice processing or the safety incident categorization or maybe the initial material takeoff from a blueprint.
Yeah, exactly.
You take that one workflow and you apply the five steps rigorously. You identify the bottleneck. You standardize the documents for just that process. You define the human approval gates for just that process.
Yeah.
You train the three people involved in it. And then you measure the outcome.
And once you prove that it works, once you show the wider company that the AI didn't replace those three people, but actually allowed them to process those invoices 10 times faster with zero errors, you have a blueprint.
You have the buy-in.
Exactly. You have built internal trust. And then, and only then, do you scale it to a second workflow.
I love that. The message for the business leader listening to this right now is incredibly clear. Stop stressing about your inability to recruit high-end AI engineers to build custom models. That is a total distraction from your actual objective.
This noise?
Yeah. Your immediate massive opportunity is to upskill the workforce you already have and to hire operational experts to apply AI safely to the messy, real-world work you do every single day.
Because the companies that will thrive in industries like construction, architecture, and property over the next 5 years, they aren't the ones with the best coders.
No.
They will be the companies with the best workflow designers, the most rigorous data governance, and the clearest change communicators. That is how you transition from fearing this technology to leveraging it for actual workforce growth.
It totally reframes how you look at the talent pool, doesn't it?
Mm.
And really, the people sitting in your office right now, it leaves you with a thought you really have to mull over as you plan your next hiring cycle.
Oh, absolutely.
If the defining AI skills of the future are actually human oversight, nuanced workflow design, and change communication, is it possible that the most valuable AI experts in your company a year from now won't be new, expensive tech hires at all?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. Is it possible that the key to your entire AI strategy is actually the traditional managers, the seasoned superintendents, and the veteran operators that you already have on your payroll today?